Al-Bayan Radio presents the biography of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, presented by Sheikh Arshad Khan.
Bismillah, wa salatu wa salamu ala nabiyyina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in. Brothers and sisters, welcome to our series entitled The Life of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the Meccan period. In the previous lesson that we had, we spoke about how the rumors spread amongst the Muslims that the Quraysh had accepted Islam, and this was due to the satanic verses. However, we know that that's not true. The Quraysh simply prostrated because of the power of Surat An-Najm, and the rumor had spread that the Quraysh had accepted Islam, so the Muslims who were in Abyssinia, they migrated, or they returned back to Mecca. Before we go on to this incident, we need to know that how many from the immediate Sahaba were in this migration. We know that Umar radiallahu anhu was not still a Muslim, so he did not migrate. Uthman radiallahu anhu migrated, and Ali ibn Abi Talib was too young to immigrate. How about Abu Bakr? Abu Bakr's story is interesting. He initially decided to immigrate and accompany Uthman, but on the way to the ship in Jeddah, they, the Muslim group, were migrating to Abyssinia. They passed by the leader of the neighboring tribe, Ibn al-Daghina. He saw them all leaving and their bags were packed up, and he asked them, "Where are you all going?" Then Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu said, "Haven't you heard about the torture of the Muslims in Mecca? We went through such a hard time." So he said, "We want to go to a land where we can worship Allah in peace." Aisha, the wife of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam radiallahu anha, narrated the following: "I never remembered my parents believing in any religion other than the true religion, meaning Islam, and I don't remember a single day passing without our father being visited by Allah's Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam in the morning and the evening." When the Muslims were put to test, when they were troubled by the pagan Arabs, Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu set out migrating to the land of Abyssinia, which is Ethiopia. And when he reached the port, Ibn al-Daghina, the chief of the neighboring tribe, met him and said, "Oh Abu Bakr, where are you going?" Abu Bakr replied, "My people have turned me out of my country." My people have turned me out, meaning from his country, his Mecca. "So I want to wander on the earth and worship my Lord." Ibn al-Daghina said, "O Abu Bakr, a man like you should not leave his homeland, nor should he be driven out, because you help the destitute, you earn their living, and you keep good relations with your kith and kin. You help the weak and poor, and you entertain your guests generously, and help the calamity-stricken people. Therefore, I am your protector, so go back and worship your Lord in your town," i.e. Mecca. So Aisha narrated that. So Ibn al-Daghina said, "Let me intercede on your behalf and protect you," because that's how protection was sought in those times. People actually had to take you under their wing and protection. So the tribe of Abu Bakr had accepted that they won't protect Abu Bakr anymore. So Ibn al-Daghina said, "I will protect you." So Ibn al-Daghina and Abu Bakr both returned back to the city of Mecca, and Ibn al-Daghina announced, "O people of Mecca, will you accept my protection over Abu Bakr?" Ibn al-Daghina, as you all know, he was a neighboring chief and a person who did frequent trade with the Quraysh. So the Quraysh accepted because of his power, because of his presence and who Ibn al-Daghina was. He was a trading partner, so they could not say no. But they said, "We will accept it based on a condition." And that condition is that Abu Bakr cannot pray publicly. And as you all know, brothers and sisters, that Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu was the only one with the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam who actually prayed publicly. And they didn't want him to pray in public because of the effect that this prayer would have on the people. So because of this, Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, what did he do? they accepted this condition. So what did Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu do? He was the first person to build a masjid. So what did he do? He basically extended his house and made a room into a place of worship. So he decided to make a public masjid, basically. And he prays in this extension of his house. And he prayed there. And when he prayed in his house, he can pray a normal prayer and his recitation would be heard. Because in those days, there was no windows. It was just a piece of cloth, a thin material covering the windows. And Abu Bakr's recitation, as you know, was beautiful. The women and children would gather around listening to this recitation of his, as narrated by Aisha, that he would cry a lot when reciting the Quran. This was the nature of Abu Bakr. So the people gathered around his house every time he prayed and recited aloud. And as you all know, that the houses were small and it's dead silent in the middle of the night. So it's easy for his recitation to be heard. So they went. And technically, Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu was doing the right thing. He wasn't praying in public. However, he was praying in his house. But the Quraysh couldn't take this anymore. So they sent a messenger to Ibn al-Daghina and said, "We have taken back our condition. He cannot even pray in his house." So Ibn al-Daghina said, "I have no choice to ask you, O Abu Bakr, to stop praying or allow me out of the protection." And Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu said, "I give back your protection. I now take the protection of Allah." And Aisha radiallahu anhu continues in her narration. She said, "Then a thought occurred to Abu Bakr to build a masjid in front of his house. And there he used to pray and recite the Quran. And the women and children of the pagans began to gather around him in great number. They used to wonder at him and look at him." Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu was a man who used to weep too much and who could not help weeping while reciting the Quran. That situation scared the nobles of the pagans of the Quraysh. So they sent for Ibn al-Daghina and he came to them. They said, "We accept your protection of Abu Bakr on the condition that he should worship his Lord in his house. But he has violated the condition and he has built a masjid in front of his house where he prays and recites the Quran publicly. We are afraid that he may affect our women and children, so we prevent him from that. If he likes to confine the worship of his Lord to his house, he may do so, but if he insists on doing that openly, ask him to release you from your obligation to protect him, for we dislike to break our pact with you, but we deny Abu Bakr the right to announce his act publicly." Ibn al-Daghina went to Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu and he said, "Oh Abu Bakr, you know well what contract I have made on your behalf. Now you are either to abide by it or else release me from my obligation of protecting you, because I do not want the Arabs hear that my people have dishonored a contract that I have made on behalf of another man." Abu Bakr replied, "I release you from your pact to protect me, and I'm pleased with the protection of Allah." This is the narration of Aisha radiallahu anha. What happened after this? So Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu now had no protection. And this is why, if you remember, when Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu tried to save the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, when the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was being strangled, they also almost beat Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu to death. He was immobilized for 1 week in his house. And how could they get away with this, even though he was from the Quraysh? His own sub-tribe claimed that they had no protection over him. It is because Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu forfeited his protection, Ibn Daghina's protection, and sought the protection of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now, about 14 to 17 people immigrated to Abyssinia. As they came back to Mecca, they asked, or they saw a caravan, and they were eager to ask this caravan, "Have they accepted? Have they accepted?" Meaning Islam. So they're referring back to the Quraysh. So they see this caravan, this group of people, and they want to know, the Sahaba want to know, the Sahaba who are coming back from Abyssinia, they want to know whether the Quraysh have accepted Islam, whether this rumor is true. But the first caravan that they came across told them, no, you have heard it wrong. And what happened at this point? This hurt them so much that some of them, some of the Sahaba, said, let us go back to Abyssinia. Even though that they were at the doorstep of Mecca, from their original homeland, they said, let us go back. But of course, their emotional state prevailed, and they said, we are just here. We're just at the doorstep of Mecca, so let us just go in and see what's happening. And let us see, have times changed. So now they entered into Mecca. Uthman ibn Maz'un reached out to Al-Walid ibn Mughira. Now, this is again the Sahaba who are coming into the city of Mecca from Abyssinia. They're now seeking protection. So Uthman ibn Maz'un radiallahu anh reached out to Al-Walid ibn Mughira. And Al-Walid, he agreed, and he also announced publicly that I have given my protection to Uthman ibn Maz'un. Now, if you recall Al-Walid ibn Mughira, he was one of the most powerful men in Mecca. And he is the father of the great Khalid ibn Walid radiallahu anh, the one where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed Surah Al-Muddathir. So, not a hair on the head of Uthman was touched because of this, because of the status of Al-Walid. So when Uthman took this protection and he was walking around and he saw his Muslim brothers being persecuted, his guilt got the better of him and he said to himself, how can they suffer and I'm not suffering? So he went to Al-Walid and he said, please take your protection back. I cannot bear to see my fellow Muslims suffer while I have this freedom. SubhanAllah, brothers and sisters, this shows us that even though there was nothing wrong with this protection, Uthman radiallahu anh, he voluntarily returned his protection. He showed empathy to the Muslims, to the rest of the Sahaba, not just sympathy. Sympathy is when you acknowledge someone's pain. Empathy is when you actually feel and share someone else's pain. So Uthman radiallahu anh, he felt empathy towards the Muslims. So he voluntarily returned his protection. So what did Al-Walid do? Al-Walid announced that Uthman has asked his protection to be returned. Now Al-Walid insisted in the beginning. He said, why? Why, Uthman? Have I done anything wrong? Have I fallen short in my duty in any way whatsoever? Uthman said that I cannot see my brothers being tortured and I walk around free in this manner. So Al-Walid announced, he said, Uthman has asked his protection to be returned. Now what happens? As he's walking around and he's walking back after releasing himself from this protection, he passes by a very famous poet by the name of Labid. Labid eventually accepted Islam, but here he wasn't a Muslim. So Labid was reciting some poetry, and in those times it was a form of entertainment for them, and people gathered around and are watching the chief guest recite some poetry. And in that line, in some of the lines of poetry, he said, "Ala kullu shay'in ma khala Allahu batil," that everything other than Allah is useless. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that this was the most truthful statement that any poet has ever said, that indeed everything other than Allah is useless. So Uthman, when he heard this, he became happy and he said, "Sadaqt, you have spoken the truth." And then Labid continued in his poetry and he said that وَكُلُّ نَعِيمٍ لَا مَهَالَةَ زَائِلٌ, that every blessing without any doubt will disappear. So Uthman, when he heard this, he disagreed and he said, كذبت, you have lied. Jannah is a blessing and Jannah will never ever finish. The pleasures of Jannah will never come to an end. Now imagine, brothers and sisters, Labid is the chief guest of honor and people, the pagan Arabs, are sitting around him and they're listening to his poetry and they're excited. And then all of a sudden, you have Uthman radiallahu an walking around after giving away his protection. And he hears the word of poetry. He hears this poetry. And he says in a loud voice, Sadaqta, that you have spoken the truth to the first line. And then in the second line, he says, Kadhabta, that you have spoken a lie. You have just said a lie. Now imagine the guest of honor reciting poetry and the entire Quraysh is standing around him and he is interrupted by Uthman. Labid gets irritated and he said, since when have you started to treat your guests like this? This is very rude. Labid, of course, he doesn't know what's going on, the tension between the Muslims and the non-Muslims. So someone stood up in anger and gave Uthman a hard hit and gave him a black eye in his left eye. When Al-Walid heard this, he went running to Uthman and he said, oh my nephew, why did you take the protection back? Why did you release yourself from my protection? Come back and I'll give it to you. Obviously, Al-Walid was upset at this. He said, come back to my protection and I'll give it to you. Uthman radiallahu anhu said, no, my right eye is in need of the blessing which my left eye has just received. Meaning that he wants the same treatment given to his right eye for the sake of Allah Azza wa Jal. So brothers and sisters, these are just a few stories of some Sahaba when they returned and their individual stories, such as Abu Bakr's story and Uthman's story, and how they were presented with certain situations that they went through upon the return of the Muslims from Abyssinia. And inshallah, in our next lesson, we're going to look at Abu Salama's story and we're going to look at how the pagan Arabs reacted to the return of the Muslims to the city of Mecca. Jazakumullah khair.
This program was presented by Al-Bayan Radio, the voice of Ahlus Sunnah wal Jama'ah.